has spoken. We will do. And we will understand. Asa Shama.
Hey, and welcome today. Welcome. I am so excited that we get to get into the topic we're going to get into. But if you're a visitor, I want to say a special welcome. And we have a lot of information at the Welcome Center we'd love to share with you. I also want to say a big shout out to those who are watching online. And right now, Sandra Boyer is watching in Minnesota. So praise God, Sandra, for you being online. Really cool. We are about to dig into a brand new series called The Power of Prayer. And I want to tell you, I believe it's something that God could really enact in our lives that would take it to a whole new level. Many of you are experiencing it, but I want to have everyone experience it. So let me give you a heads up. Today, I'm going to speak on the way we can be more effective in our prayer. Next week, Jim Garlow is going to be here. Jim Garlow is a phenomenal pastor from Skyline Wesleyan Church. He's written a book on miracles. Jim's phenomenal. I don't want you to miss him. The week after that, we're going to have T.C. Stallings, our new college pastor, preach. Is that good? We have another guest that week. Natalia's back. Yeah, so that'll be good. Yeah. So you don't want to miss that. Then a lot of you are going to get excited about this. Are you ready? We're going to end the series with Jack Hayford. Whoa. Now think about that. To me, you look at like Billy Graham, and I put this in the same realm, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Jack Hayford. Jack has written a book on prayer, more than one book on it. He will be here to speak. I can't believe we got him. So that's just going to be phenomenal. Now, quick heads up before I get into the message. I am going to be taking the month of July to study and also to go to Kenya and to teach with pastors there. But here's the thing. I'm already in the midst of it. And I'm already getting ready for our August series on grace. We're calling it Les Mis. And I want you to understand and experience the grace of God like you never have before. The second week, I'm already studying on the second week. My normal sermon length is 5 pages. I'm at 17 pages. Yeah, some of you are going, no, that's not grace. That's not, no, but I want you to actually do it. Would you pray for me? Because I'm trying to edit it down to the best of the best. But it's such deep, incredible, amazing things the Word of God says. So I'm loving studying. I'm loving getting ready for what we'll do in August. We're going to have lots of musical performances then, incredible creativity. But I want to have you think about that and pray about that. But let's go to God in prayer right now. And I'm going to say two names in prayer that I'd like you to join me in. April Lynn is a beautiful young little girl that got so sick that it was literally very, very close. And she's at Children's Hospital of Orange County, and her family are watching right now, and we're going to lift you guys up. And then also Talia is a young girl who has been battling leukemia, and the parents right now think that this may be it, but they've asked us to at least pray for comfort. We're going to pray for healing. So let's pray right now and ask God to be with both those families. Father, I pray right now for April Lynn, that beautiful, gorgeous little girl, and ask God that you just would surround her with your love. And God, the healing, the turn that's already been made, I pray would go to a whole new level as you bring true health and healing to her body. Be with her family. Give them your care. Give them their love right now. Make your presence known. And God, when I looked at Talia's picture and I saw how she's been battling and fighting and that beautiful face and incredible smile, God, I know you see her, you love her, we love her. I pray you'd be with her. And I pray her family would know your love. We want your will to be done. I pray your will would be to heal her. We know you can. That's not an issue. We know you can. So I pray that would happen. And in a moment like this, what an amazing miracle that would be. And God, I pray right now for us. I pray as we open our hearts to you, our minds to you, you speak to us. Father, for anyone now who needs a special touch from you, I pray in the midst of our time, they would sense your presence. Some to come to know you for the first time. Some, Lord, to find freedom from something that's keeping them from experiencing all the great and mighty things you have for them. But God, I pray you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to know that I want you to know that if you're around Crossroads very long, you're going to hear us quote a verse of scripture we love, and we love to claim the promise of. It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, God says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know. Call to me. Do you read? God says, call out to me, pray to me, talk to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know. Now, here's what I want to get at. Why does God say that? Are you ready? Because he loves you. I have been very intrigued with that whole concept where John the Apostle says these words. Describing himself, he uses this term, the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you're a disciple, and I hope you are, a Christ follower who's committed to be a disciple of the Lord, I hope you would actually be very comfortable in saying that phrase about you, I am the disciple who Jesus loves. You know what? God loves you. Jesus loves you. He cares about you more than you could possibly know. And so what he's saying to you and me, he's saying, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know. You and I should be living that life of great and mighty things, and God says it happens in prayer. So what's the big idea? The big idea I want you to get is effective prayer. Effective prayer unleashes the power for you and I to experience great and mighty things that God has for you. Effective prayer unleashes the power to experience great and mighty things that God has for you. That's what happens when you and I pray effectively. And we see God do amazing things. Maui Pa is a name I want you to lock in. Maui Pa at one time was a Hindu terrorist. That's his description of himself. He was a Hindu radical, a part of a radical group that actually carried out acts of terror. They committed violence against people with the desire to create intimidation through fear. And he was a very feared man. He was a very hateful man. There was only one thing that Maui Pa loved in his life, and that was his wife. And when she got sick, he didn't know what to do. She became sicker and sicker. It was more precarious, the state she was in. And God orchestrated a divine appointment for Maui Pa with a man who was a Sikh. Now, that was interesting because he hated Sikhs. But the Sikh, for some reason, was able to start talking with him. And he began to share about his wife. And then he found out the man was not only a Sikh, he was a Sikh Christian. And he hated Christians more than he hated Sikhs. So this is strike two, right? But the Sikh told him this. He said, if you pray in the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus will heal your wife. Now that bothered him because he didn't believe in Jesus, but he was so desperate that he decided he had to do it. So he went home, he got on his knees, laid his hands on his wife, and he prayed and prayed and prayed in the name of Jesus. He said, please, please heal my wife. And God healed his wife. Now he rushed back to the Sikh and he said, it worked. He said, you need to give your life to Christ. And he goes, but I can't. Jesus would never take me with all I've done. And then that man began to share with him the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the cleansing power to eradicate anything from our life that's bad like that. God is the only one who can deal with our past. And so Maui Pa, crying his eyes out, feeling the Holy Spirit upon him, gave his life to Christ. He was so caught up with what happened, he rushed to tell his father, who was also a Hindu radical. And his father was sitting in a chair like this the whole time. Maui paused enthusiastically, going on and on and on about how he feels and the transformation and the power of prayer that works. And his father, when he had hit the end of the story, said, are you finished? He said, yeah, I am. And his father got up, went into the bedroom, and came out carrying a pistol and starts firing at him. Now he's trying to kill him. And Maui Pa's running as his dad is shooting and cursing at him. And here's what he said. He goes, that was a miracle because my dad actually is a really good shot. But he didn't hit me. For the next 10 years, his father wanted nothing to do with him. But the next 10 years, his heavenly father did everything with him. He began to grow in his faith and grow in his love for God and have joy like he couldn't imagine. And God began to use him to eventually start churches and lead groups of leaders. And God started this ministry he never knew he could have. And 10 years later, his father now is sick. And he asked to see his father, and his father said yes. And he goes in to see him, and he walks in the room, and he says, Dad, If you ask me to, I will pray in the name of Jesus and he'll heal you. You got to ask. And his dad said, get out and cussed him out. The next week, his father got worse and worse to the point of actually suffering. So he called for his son again. And Maui Pa came in and the dad said, would you pray for me? He said, you got to ask me to pray in the name of Jesus. The father took a hard gasp and said, yes, pray in the name of Jesus. And he prayed and prayed and prayed over his father in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he took his hands off of him, in this case, he was instantaneously healed. Isn't that cool? So his dad gave his life to the Lord, which you could imagine. And the rest of the family gave their life to the Lord. And now their ministry goes to brand new heights. And they are winning people to Christ in New Delhi, in India. Well, my friend Cam Huxford, their church in Savannah is one of their main supporters. And I got to tell you this part, because the story just keeps going on for Maui Pa. And so Cam, this last Christmas, like most of our churches, like we do this for our global outreach partners, they wanted to bless them. So they had sent word to all their global outreach partners saying, how can we do something for you out of this Christmas? And Maui Pa's group sent back the message, we need bail money. Bail money. And Cam's like, bail money? Why do they need bail money? And they said, Cam, because in the last 3 months, Maui Pa has been arrested 14 times. So Cam said, oh, you know what? Forget bail money. We're going to intercede. So he arranges for an overseas phone call, and he calls Maui Pa, and he said, hey, I want to know, have you been arrested 14 times? And he said, yes, I have. And he goes, you know what? What can we do to stop that? And Maui Pa says, you're not supposed to stop it. And he said, what? He said, no, my leaders, we got together and started praying. And again, prayer, you call to God and he'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things you do not know. He said, we were praying. And God told us to do a prison ministry because people in prison would be more receptive to the gospel. So we went to the prison authorities and we said, can we come in the prison and do ministry? And the prison authorities are all Hindus. And they said, no, we're never going to let you into our prison. Well, they realized there's a law in India against public urination. I'll let that sink in. So they every Thursday, they'd get their prison team. They would go and find a police officer, and they would go. Get it? Go. And they would get arrested. And the penalty is one night in jail, but you have to pay bail to get out, which you don't get back. And so they would take their team and go. And then they would go to prison, and they would witness. And they were leading not just hundreds, thousands of prisoners to Christ. Isn't that kind of cool? So I just want to let you know our prison ministry is not going to practice that, but we are going to pray. The key is this, is that you and I need to understand God really wants this for you. God really wants this for you. And if you're listening right now going, but that didn't happen to me, I have a question. Why not? It's not that God doesn't love you, because I promise you, I know he loves you. It's not that God doesn't have the power and does, and by the way, it's not that God doesn't want to do this with you and for you. So the question would be, why not? Because I know he does. I remember early on when I was first born again, I'd hear stories like Maui Pa's, and I'd hear other stories, and I thought, I want that to happen to me. Guess what? God wanted it to happen to me too. He wants it for you. And so what you need to understand is effective prayer unleashes the power to experience the great and mighty things God has for you. So let's talk about four keys to effective prayer. And I think you'll be able to remember them. I hope you write them down, even if you don't write them down. I'd be very surprised if you don't walk out of here knowing these. Because it spells out P-R-A-Y. P-R-A-Y. If you remember these four things and enact them in your prayer life, you are going to pray better. You're going to experience more. You're going to see the power has come to unleash the great and mighty things for you. So let's start with what the P is. The P is for promises. The promise is a prayer. You need to embrace the promise and believe it. And I'm going to ask you to believe it. I'm going to ask you to trust in it. I'm going to ask you to practice it. And look what it says in Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, he's talking to his disciples. It's a big deal to understand. This promise is only for a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Christ who has Jesus Christ as Lord. They love him and they want to be like him and they live for him. And so he's talking to disciples and he says this. He said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, catch this, believe that you have received them, for they will be granted to you. Now, two things, don't miss what he said. He starts out by having faith in God. And the two things are this. One, he goes, I don't want you to doubt. Do not doubt. Don't doubt in your heart. You got to believe with all your heart it's going to happen. And then you've got to believe it's already happened. See, Jesus is saying something pretty incredible. He's saying it's not seeing as believing, it's believing as seeing. That's the promise of prayer. And so you and I need to practice that. And so we need to see it. Now, I want to be as clear as I can. When we pray and pray and pray for something, you ought to be able to picture in your mind it occurring. But I want to be very clear. Let me say this why. I'm not saying we practice visualization. Visualization is a new age practice, an occultic practice, where the idea is if I picture it and picture it, it's going to occur. That's not what the Bible's saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's a twist from the truth. But what Jesus is teaching us here, what I'm trying to get across, is we pray knowing God is the only one who can enact it. It's not our imagination that enacts it, but we ought to pray and pray and pray to the point we could see it happening because God's doing it. Do you see the difference there and why that's important? I think most everybody here knows that the prayer I pray most is for my oldest son, Rich, to come back to Christ. And I pray that, and I pray it with passion, and I pray it without doubting that God's gonna do it. And a lot of times I'll come walking in this building when there's no one here, and I'll stand right there, and I'll start praying that prayer. And in my mind, I see all of you here, and I see me asking you to rise as I give the invitation, and then I see a man stepping behind the cameras and starting down this aisle, and it's him. And I see him coming. I can picture his walk. He and I have the same walk. It's kind of unique and weird, maybe. And I see him coming towards me. And I see him crying. And I know I'm crying. And sometimes I almost cry thinking about it. And I picture us hugging right there as he gives his life to Christ. I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. And God wants you to believe it. He wants you to see it occurring. He wants you to see it happening. And you and I need to be that way. But he says, don't doubt. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but he, anyone coming to God, desiring something to occur, he must ask in faith without any doubting. Did you know? No doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man, the one who doubts, that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So you and I need to pray believing. We need to trust in God for that. God promises to answer prayer. But who is the promise for? The promise is for a disciple who lives and desires the will of God be enacted in his life or her life and in all other lives and in all other situations. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things, John says, I have written to you who believe. Notice who it's written to those who believe. In the name of the Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Did you grab that? He says, you know, if I ask according to the will of God, it will happen. Now, as a disciple, you and I agree on this. As disciples, we only want God's will done. It's not our will, his will be done. And so we're going to live that way. We're going to desire that. And when we do that, when we line up with that, we can believe without any doubting God's going to enact it. And Jeremiah 33:3 will be true for you. Call to me, God says, and I will answer you. And I will show you or tell you, either way, the Hebrew word's there. I will show or tell you the great and mighty things you do not know. God's going to do that for you. He's going to do it for me. But you got to believe the promise. You got to cling to the promise. You got to enact the promise of believing and seeing. Number two, R. You need to repeat it. It needs to be repeated. Repeated. Now, by the way, this may be the most important one because this may be the one people do the least. God wants you to be persistent and passionate when you come to him. Now, I want to reiterate that. He wants you to be persistent and passionate. He wants it repeated. He doesn't want you just to pray at one time. You need to pray and pray and pray and pray till it occurs. Daniel prayed 21 days before he got his answer. Daily, maybe more than once, probably three times a day for 21 days. And what happened is the answer came through an angel, and the angel went to Daniel and said this: the day you started to pray, I came with the answer, but I was hindered by the powers of darkness, by demonic forces who actually stopped me. But you kept praying, Daniel. You kept praying. What if he had only prayed 18 days? No answer. He prayed all 21 till he got an answer. Now, it's not about repetition as far as using a rote same phrase over and over. It's about genuinely, passionately, persistently praying. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 18, and I hope you're there. We're going to be in Luke 18 and Luke 11. Look at Luke 18, verse 1. Now, Jesus was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while, the judge was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, did you catch that word? Bothers me. I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Did you see what Jesus is saying? I want you to bother me. I want you to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. I want you to bother me. And notice what he says next. He says this, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find people who are repeatedly praying, persistently praying, passionately praying? Will that happen? I'm becoming convinced that God is actually more of a grandfather than he is a father. Now, you may not agree with that, but I'm kind of seeing that. And here's why. My granddaughter, Eleni, I'm going to talk about her two or three times. I mean, she has got my heart. 3 years old, gorgeous, beautiful little girl. She has discovered the word why. Why? I'm holding her and she goes, Papa, why is your beard white? Because Papa's getting old. Why? Because I've been around a long time. Why? Because God created me to live this long. Why? Because he's not let me die yet. Why? You know, and here's why I'm going to that. I like it. When I was a parent, I didn't like it. I used to think why was a cuss word. You use it again, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. You know? But now I like it. You know what? It doesn't bother me. And see, you ought to be going to God again and again and again. It almost ought to appear to anyone else it would bother him. But it doesn't bother God. And here's why. Because he loves you. He loves it when you come. He loves it when you keep coming. He loves it when you're that way, when you're persistent. Jesus didn't talk about this only once. He brought it up again in a previous one. Look at this. Luke 11, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. He said, I got a friend who came, I don't have any food, can you lend me some? And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door is open. How do you knock on a door? You don't just go bonk and step back. Man, you go and go and go. You're going to go at least 3 or 4 times, aren't you? But you know what? If it's a real need, you're going to go more than that. Pam and I, a while back, were sitting in our house in the kind of back area, and there was a knock at the door, but I wasn't sure I heard it. And I said, did you hear something? Because it's kind of later at night. And she said, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, bam, 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 they're pounding. What does that tell you? It tells you somebody's in need, right? Someone has a big need. So I'm running to the door and I open it and there's a friend of mine standing there and his need is big. And I have to leap in. I get to leap in. But he was passionate. He wasn't going to let that sit back. The need was too great. How big is your need? How big is your desire? How much passion do you have for God to enact that in your life? The more you have, you're ready for this, is good. The more you have, the more likely he's going to say yes. So go for it. God loves it, and he wants you to repeat it. It's very interesting that one of the things James tells us about that is in James chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Do you know what that means? Elijah's just like you and me. When you read about Elijah, you know what James is telling you? You could do that. You might say, no, Elijah's special. You know what? He is. So are you. You are too. You're that special. That's one of those things I feel like I try to get so many people to see. God loves you like that. You're that special. And James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain and did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain on the earth and produced its fruit. Now this is talking about in 1 Kings 18, where the drought has gone on for over 3 years, and now it's time to pray for an end of it. And Elijah gets on his knees and he prays, and he says to his servant, go look and see if a cloud's coming. And his servant comes back and says, no cloud. He prays again, says, go look and see if there's a cloud's coming, and no cloud's coming. And again, and again, and again, and again, 7 times. And then he comes back and says, there's a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah says, tell everyone a great storm's about to happen. Now why? He believed, now without doubting, but he prayed repeatedly, 7 times. If he had prayed 6 times, guess what? No answer. You and I need to grab that. You need to pray and pray and pray till God either makes it very clearly yes or very clearly no. And there's actually 2 other answers we'll get to in a minute. But you and I need to pray that way. Knock, 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 and God will do it. When we got ready earlier this year to enact our fasting time, our 40 days of fasting and praying and seeking God, Pam came to me and said, I want us to put this right out close to the top of the list. I want us to pray for Kathy Roberts to get pregnant. You know, Tim Roberts, our worship leader, his wife Kathy. I've known Tim since he's in junior high. I watched those two fall in love. I did their wedding. And she said, you know, I know they have 2 beautiful children, but Kathy's hurting right now because she wants a next child. She believes God wants it, but it's just not happening, and it would take a miracle. So we started praying. We were fasting and praying. In fact, I'll never forget, it's Valentine's, and we're away in Savannah, Georgia, interestingly, and we're sitting having our Valentine's dinner, which, by the way, when you're fasting like the way we were fasting, you know what that means? You don't eat anything. But I still paid the full amount. You know, and so I'm sitting there, and actually that made us pray better. And so we're praying for Kathy, and I texted her, just prayed for you. And she texted back. She goes, that brought me to tears. I'm crying right now. She wanted it that bad. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. The end of the 40 days came, no baby. Well, we kept praying. You don't stop. You keep praying. You keep knocking. And so we kept doing it. And then a little while back, Kathy said, you know, I want us to keep praying, but would the elders pray and anoint me with oil? So I'll never forget that night. I love it when our elders get together and do that. And she and Tim came in, and she brought us literally to tears. And we surrounded her and anointed her and prayed over her. And it was very, very shortly after that, she's pregnant. Now she's carried the baby right now to all pretty what we consider a safety zone. But we're praying and praying. So Kathy is pregnant. Are you ready for that? God said yes. God said yes. Yeah. And God loves to do that. But you got to repeat the prayer. So P is promises. R is repeated. A is answers. There's 4 answers that God gives. 4 answers that God gives. Number 1 answer, yes. God loves to say yes. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So you know what? God loves to say yes. He really does. And I told you guys this before, and I know you probably, some of you remember it, but I love that phrase, I say yes. And I do it with my grandkids. And so we got back from Israel, and we're in our house, and Liam and Eleni run over, and they ask for fruit snacks. And I say, I say, and they scream yes, but Eleni added something. It's I say yes, Papa. I say yes, Papa. And she dances around. That's how she moved to the top of the will. I say yes, Papa. And you know what I thought? That's who God is to you. He's I say yes, Abba. And he loves it. And you ought to be praying and God's going, I say. And you're like, yes, God, yes. He loves to say yes. I don't want you to miss that. The next thing, God says no. God says no. You might go, wait, yes, no? Well, there's three reasons God would say no. And number one, and you already got it, if it'll hurt you, if it's not good for you, if rather than bringing fulfillment in your life, it poisons your life and you don't seem to see it. Jesus talks about that in Matthew, and I want you to not miss what he says when he talks about it. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, and what man is there among you who when his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? You actually need bread, but you're actually asking for a stone instead. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread. When you go to the land of Israel, you'll see the rocks there look like they're bread. And if a little baby's asking for a rock when they really need bread, the father's not going to give that to him. Then he actually takes it up a notch and said, if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you're asking for something that would poison your life, he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you something that's not the best for you. That's why I would say no. So verse 11 says, if then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Now see, he will give you the good things. He will say yes, but he says, I'll say no if it's going to hurt you. I know I might not be in the majority. I want to see in this room. Last night I wasn't. I think we had the majority last hour. We'll see about right now. You ready? I'm a Garth Brooks fan. Anybody else? Okay, good. All right. I think that's the majority. So we're okay. Garth Brooks. Do you love the song Unanswered Prayer? Yeah. If those of you who don't have a life and don't listen to Garth, Unanswered Prayer is about him when he said he was at his old high school's football game and he ran into an ex-girlfriend. It was the girl he had prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And he said when he took a look at her, he thanked God for unanswered prayer. Which I think, first of all, is a great song. And I've also thought, how would you like to be the girl who the song's written about? It's a million seller about you. Anyway, God sometimes says no because you know what? It's just not what you really want or need. And then you get something else better and you're like, okay, God, I get it. All right, so God says yes, God says no. The next thing God says, he goes, I'll say no because you have the wrong motives. I'll say no because your attitude's wrong and you're being selfish. I've shared it before and it's true. God refuses to be a part of a dysfunctional relationship. So in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so you may spend it on your pleasures. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you have your motives are wrong. And so you need to do a motive check. Say, Lord, am I really asking for the right thing here? Is it for the right reason? And then the third reason God may say no is because there's sin in your life. There's sin in your life. See, God looks at you and says, until we deal with that sin, I'm not going to give you your answer. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, John had said, when he hears us, we get yes. If he doesn't hear us, he refuses to listen to us because there's sin. Now, if you're a Christian who's practicing sin, and by the way, there are Christians who practice sin. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It's precarious. It's not a great place to be. But if a sin has got a hold of you, if there's something you're doing repeatedly, and God's going to say, all right, we're not going to move forward. Is it bitterness or a grudge? God says, no, then I'm not going to answer. Let go of the bitterness and grudge so you get your answers. Is it an addictive behavior? Are there some of you right now who, man, when you're alone or maybe it's just you and your one or two others, you're doing something, you know the Bible says it's wrong. You know what? It's hurting you and God's not going to enact blessing in your life until we deal with it. By the way, let me say this. If that's you, we can end it right now in a good way. You can be free right now. You could just commit your life to him. Ask for his forgiveness. He wants to give it to you, and then you can move to the place of blessing. You can make that happen. You don't have to wait for it. It can happen right now. But you just can't keep it going. Is there an area the Bible says you should be doing you're not doing? That'll keep the blessing from coming. And so he'll say no because of that. So God says yes. God says no. God also says wait. God also says wait because he has his timing. And his timing is perfect. His timing is precious. And we need to trust in that. When I was first a born-again Christian and felt called, knew God had called me in the ministry, I remember watching Tim Coop preach here at Crossroads. And I used to pray, God, one day I want to be the senior pastor of Crossroads. And it didn't happen. And then in the 80s, I was on staff here, and it looked like for a moment it might happen. Didn't happen. And then about 14 years ago, Tim actually, God called him somewhere else. And I thought, you know what? God, I really believe now it's time. And then God said, no, not going to happen yet. So I had to wait another 10, 14 years. Now here's the thing. Then when it started to happen and God said, now you can be the pastor of Crossroads, I'm like, no, don't want it. But you know what? I don't know if you're glad I'm the pastor at Crossroads. I'm glad I'm the pastor at Crossroads. I can tell you this, 14 years ago, I wouldn't have been any good. And you know, God needed 14 years to groom me. Now, some of you are going, you still need grooming. Yep, I do. But that's God's timing. And by the way, I feel so blessed to be with you. But I'm glad God prepared me the way he did. And we need to trust the wait. The last thing, and God loves to do this bigger and better. He loves to not just give you a yes. He loves to give you a yes beyond what you can imagine. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. God just loves to do that. He loves to make it bigger and better than you can imagine. God loves to do that for you. Don't miss that. I mean, you know, here's another grandfather example. My daughter-in-law, Jill, is an amazing mother. And when the kids ask for fruit snacks, they get one packet. So the other day, I was telling you about it, they're standing in the kitchen. We've just got back from Israel. Finally get to see them. They run in and go, can we have fruit snacks? And I go, I say, and it's yes, yes, Papa. And I go, yeah, yeah. And I go, each of you get a box. They don't get a packet from Papa. They get the whole box. They're holding it. Cinderella Princess, you know, it was a Spider-Man box for Liam. And they get the whole box. And by the way, when they're with Papa, they can eat the whole box. And then I send them to Jill on a sugar high. God gives bigger and better. Oh, he loves to do that. One of my other passionate prayers God said yes to is I wanted to go to the land of Israel. And God said, wait, and he prepared the time for it to come. But when I went, it was bigger and better than I thought. It was bigger and better, number one, because I didn't just go to Israel. I preached in Israel. And two of the largest churches in Israel, I'm standing in the Holy Land preaching about the one I love, Jesus, with people who live there. And I thought, God, this is incredible. And then I know I've told this before, but God had something more planned. That I can't, it's beyond, it's greater and mightier than I could have imagined. Something I didn't know could occur the way it would. It's beyond all I could hope or dream or ask or think, because God does that. I'm standing at the Wailing Wall, and I've had God prompt me in my spirit. I've had God put thoughts in my mind that I know are clearly from him. I've even had God give me dreams. And I believe and have believed that God would speak audibly at times. But I had never had it happen, and I didn't know what was going to, and I'm standing there, and he spoke audibly. And anybody who knows me, and I, some of you know me pretty well, and some don't, and anyone who knows me knows this, I've changed. He changed me. I'm standing there, and he's speaking, and I'm different. It's bigger and more incredible and beyond imagination. It's great, and it's mighty. It's what I needed in that moment, didn't know I needed. But I called to him and he answered. He told me, great and mighty things I do not know. P is promises, R is repeated, A is answers, Y. Y is your part. Y is your part. You and I have a part to play, and we need to understand that if God's gonna answer our prayer. In Nehemiah chapter 4, they're about to be attacked. They see in the peril and the danger right on their doorstep. And it says in Nehemiah 4:9, and we prayed to God and then we set a guard. They prayed to God and they set a guard. Setting the guard was not a lack of faith. It was what faith does. At times, God says, I want you to do your part because I want to partner with you. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, what did he do? He said, you guys roll away the stone. Jesus could have rolled away the stone. Jesus could have obliterated the stone. But he wanted them to have a part. And then he raised Lazarus, something they could not do. You and I have a part to play. If there's someone that I want to come to know Christ, I should pray and pray and pray, but I should also see if I can have a conversation with them. That's my part, about God. If there's somebody who has a huge need in their life, and I go, God, this need's huge, I need to pray and pray and pray, but if I can even meet part of that need or some of that need, I need to go do it. If I have a relational issue that I'm like, it's breaking my heart, I need to pray and pray and pray, and then I need to try to go and talk with them and set an appointment. If you're financially burdened, if you're financially not, I need a breakthrough in my finances, I'm not moving ahead. You need to pray and pray and pray. And what does the Bible say? You need to tithe and give offerings and trust God with that. You and I need to pray. If you're saying, I want Crossroads to be a better church, you need to pray and pray and pray and then use your spiritual gift here. See, that's if you're saying, I want God to speak and touch my life like I can't imagine, pray and pray and pray, and then go on a short-term experience where you can be open to it. That's what God wants you to do. If you're here right now and you're one of the people who are here and you think, I came to church today because I wanted an answer. I came to church today because I wanted hope. I came to church because I wanted God to touch me. And I need his love. I need his cleansing. I need his healing. You should pray and ask God for it. And then you've got to take a step of committing him, your part. Commit completely to God. Right now, I'm going to lead a time of prayer. And this to me is a very holy moment. And during this time, I'm going to ask all those who are right with God, I'm going to ask you to pray and pray and pray for people to say yes to him. And then I'm going to offer an opportunity for anyone who wants to have God's love poured in. Come to know God's presence and his power in your life. Have it unleashed so you see those great and mighty things. And to be free from a heavy burden on you. You're tired of being weighed down. To have the loneliness eradicated that some feel. And start having love be real. Some of you are saying, man, I just need joy. Some of you say, I'm the one who in the darkness, I've got things that shouldn't be happening in my life I'm doing. And I want to stop. And like I said, this could be the moment. You pray this prayer, it could all stop. You could see victory come. You could see transformation happen. And what you need to do is pray, and then I'm going to ask you to do a step with God, which is your part. So I'm going to ask us right now to go to prayer, and I want to start praying for anyone who needs to say yes to him, to give your life to him for the first time and come to know him in a very real way. For some of you to come back to him. For some of you to find revival in your life, for some for healing, for some for a relationship to be restored. For some of you, your past is bad and God can deal with it in a way you can't imagine. So what we're going to do is pray, and then I'm going to ask in a moment for anyone who's ready to say yes to God to pray a prayer with me, and where you commit to him and you trust him and you believe in him and you watch him take you and make your life different and better and amazing. And then after you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to have a time right after that where I'm going to ask you to do your part. In the Bible, it always starts with calling out to God. And then God wants you to show others that you've made this decision. And so what we're going to do is if you pray this prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something that takes courage, that's not easy, but it's so important that I'm going to ask that during this time, nobody slip out of the room. Nothing matters more than someone else's eternity. Would you guys agree? And so I don't want you slipping out. You should be excited for this moment. So I'm going to ask everyone in a moment after we pray to stand. And then those of us who love God are going to be singing out. And those of you who are saying yes to God, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the aisle or to the stairs to come forward. Let us greet you right here and go in this room where we can give you some things to help you grow in Christ. But something happens when you do your part and walk forward. You might say, well, people let me out. Oh, people will let you out. They're going to cheer you on. And we're going to ask you to come down. And as you make that walk, you're going to sense, now that you're saying yes to God and doing your part, you're going to sense your connection deepening. You'll never understand it unless you do it. It's by doing we understand. And so I know it's scary. I know it's hard. But you'll mark this day as special. So let's all who love God, let's start praying right now for people who need to say yes to him. And I'm going to ask those of you who sense God calling you or you want God, get ready to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you're here. And I ask, oh God, that you reveal your spirit to those right now who need you. Lord, you know each person and you know them by name and you knew they would sit in the seat they're in. You knew the need they have. And God, you're not only going to meet the need, you're going to do something more amazing. And I pray they want that. For the one who needs to come to know you for the first time, Lord, I pray you're touching them and they're realizing this is real and they need to open up and step out in faith and throw themselves into your arms. And I pray they're going to pray this prayer. For the one who's a Christian, but they're doing things they know a Christian should not do. I hope they know they're loved, but I hope they're ready to leave it behind. They can. You can. God, I pray right now you touch them. For the one, Lord, who's sitting here with a grudge and bitterness and anger, I pray it would start to just literally dissipate and disseminate and go away from them. And God, you would be touching and they're ready to recommit to you. For the one, oh Lord God, who's got pain because of a relationship that just went bad. I pray right now, God, you would touch them and they would put themselves in your hands and you're about to do something. Father, for the person who's here and they're just so filled with worry. Oh, they're worried. They're scared. God, I pray you would be with them and they'd be ready to say yes to you. Lord, there's a girl here who this week did something she never thought she'd do. And you love her. And she, right now, she was hurting from this so much that it literally her stomach turned. And I pray right now, God, your love's coming and you're setting her free. And God, for a person who would sit here and say there's a cloud over their life, I pray right now you're going to shine light upon them. So God, we pray you'd call each person who needs to come to you. I'm going to lead that prayer right now, and I hope some of you are being sensitive to the Lord because he loves you and you're ready to say yes to him. Maybe for the first time, maybe to recommit, maybe for healing. But right now, if you want it, let's pray this prayer together. Let's whisper these words. Say this to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross to cleanse me and to forgive me for all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from fear and to free me from anything that would hold me back. And I know you want me to be yours and you want me to be alive and you will make me brand new. So I say yes. I say yes. Yes, I want you. And yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please, please fill me with your love. And fill me with your spirit. And make me yours completely. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, oh, praise God if you prayed that prayer.